Hello, everyone. This is Coach Bills, joined by Coach Future Star to bring you another PNTT preview podcast. Coach, how you doing?
Great. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. Glad to be here. We are going to start our review of a few groups. This is the first one we're recording. It's the Brown Group, named after Eric Brown, who Coach V was kind enough to point out to us offline. Vanquished both of our teams in the NTT last year, right? I mean, it wasn't just him, but New York City with their magical run from the 12 seed all the way to the NTT title game, beating both of our teams on the way, led by Eric Brown, who scored 26.9 points per 30 minutes and was the huge part of their offense. So we've got to start right there, Coach. He's gone. The team has a lot of talent left. But how do you see them replacing Eric Brown?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one because at times he was kind of a one-man show, right? I mean, for example, in our game that we lost, I do believe he scored exactly half their points. So big piece of their offense. I don't know if that opens up things, if there's some hidden scoring talent from the returning players that just – didn't really have the opportunity, or if one of the freshmen is going to step up and get something done this season. But yeah, there's definitely some wide open options. I don't see anything super obvious off the bench. Hunter Culp obviously was the backup and he was pretty, pretty efficient. I mean, not the most efficient, but you know, he was able to score what about, I don't know, what is it? It's 16 points per 30 off the bench. So, you know, you have to think he's going to get a small opportunity. 52% true shooting isn't the greatest, but that's dragged down by his poor three-point shooting. His field goal percentage was pretty good at 48.4. So there's some options there. And then we have some freshmen coming in. One in particular, Jacob Tolbert, who scored 18 points a game in high school at the small forward position. Very good true shooting, 59%, good from deep, good from the field. So you wonder if he's going to maybe step into the starting lineup and have some opportunities.
Yeah, I think Tolbert's definitely the name to watch there. Really nice efficiency numbers, as you pointed out. And obviously the team has some talent that's coming back, right? I mean, some really nice recruiting classes. And it wasn't as if Brown was their only good player. He just was a huge part of their offense, as you said. I went back and checked the box score of that game that you were referring to against your team. In fact, he scored even more than half their points. They had 74 and he had 38 of them. So that was quite a performance for him. I mean, there was some shifting around in the lineup for this New York City team last year. Darius Hawkins took on a bigger role in the NTT. Dylan Kane played great for them at center, something that I think his numbers didn't necessarily predict he'd be able to do, at least to me. He's not really a defensive presence, not a shot blocker. He's only 6'8", but the team really took off with him there. Now, they did also lose beyond Brown, Jonathan Harris, who played power forward and was a really, truly excellent rebounder, right? I mean, you've got the attribute excellent, but he played that way as well. Grabbed double-digit rebounds, had 3.5 offensive rebounds, and most annoyingly to me, had 6 offensive rebounds in the New York City victory over my team, where they had 23 offensive rebounds on 44 missed shots. Really something I haven't gotten over, as you can tell. But so he's gone too. It's not just Brown. Another question. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jonathan Harris, even though he wasn't a scorer, he was clearly a big part of their team. I remember him very well because I do believe we recruited him, or at least maybe we did recruit him and dropped him or something like that. So he was definitely the type of big that I like to recruit, you know, the guy that doesn't really score but can do everything else at a high level. And wherever he played, center, power forward, he definitely impacted the game. And it's kind of strange. You mentioned, you know, about the offensive rebounds. He was a big part of it, but this team was kind of built on rebounding, which looking at it, you wouldn't think because they're not overly big. They have adequate size, but not, you know, they're not super tall. So, but they definitely, you know, that was kind of the key to most of their victories. It was winning the battle on the boards. And so now you wonder who's going to take those spots. You have some guys on the bench that can step in. Dylan Kane, as you mentioned, played very well at center. Do they go back to that? Do they maybe move somebody else from the bench, like a Norman Smith, into the starting lineup? You know, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I mean, Efren Thomas is another guy who was on the bench last year. He rebounded well, had some pretty good overall numbers. So maybe he'll get a shot. It doesn't look like any of the freshmen would take a front court spot there as a starter. So, I mean, it could be a lot of lineup changes for this group. I mean, they made them throughout the year. You know, sorry to keep bringing up, you know, difficult results for your team last year, right? But you guys are obviously the PNTT reigning champs in Rockford, and you blew this team out in the PNTT final. By what, 46? They came back to beat you in the NTT. So clearly some pretty good coaching there and some lineup changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when going through the NTT, this is only somewhat related, but as soon as we saw the draw, we saw that your team, Salt Lake City, was a team that we would have to face eventually, we thought. And then you guys got beat by New York City. And so I don't know if we took a deep breath because New York City is a good team, but thought certainly we'd beaten them in the PNTT would be a better matchup for us than your team, which we knew would be tough. And that didn't work out too well either for the both of us, I guess.
This is just a nice bitter podcast for two guys who got beat by New York City. Good job, coach. Coach, go OSU. You got us. But yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens with this team. Certainly some good players, but some major, really big shoes to fill as well.
Yeah. And we'll also mention the other two freshmen. Both have talent. I mean, the class ranking is 25-29. So it's not just Jacob Tolbert. Ladarius, let's see if we can get this right. Munguia, I guess we would say.
I guess.
He's a guy who he might have some, you know, possibilities as a big. He's playing maybe slightly out of position for his skill set at small forward. He is 6'8". He did have fairly good rebounding numbers for a small forward. So you know, maybe the turnovers were a little high. So maybe a power forward position is, you know, with coach constantly trying out different lineups. Maybe he's a guy that they'll try in there every once in a while.
Yeah. Who knows? It certainly will be interesting to see, but not, you know, for all their success last year and very deserving number one seed in this group, I wouldn't think a lock necessarily to win the group pending these other teams. So let's get to them starting right now. The next team that we're going to look at least on my list, is Boise, the Potato Sacks out of Conference 21. I believe another team that lost to New York City in the tournament last year. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to make that definite. Yeah, in the second round, right before they beat my team, New York City beat Boise 88-82. So it's just a whole revenge tour here for these teams. So Boise last year was a 4 seed in the NTT, did lose in that second round game to New York City, finished number 27 in the power rankings. Graduated a couple starters, Kaimani Newman, the small forward, Miguel Pena, the center, both solid players on a very balanced team. This was not, you know, an Eric Brown type situation where one guy was doing all the scoring or, you know, was the obvious star. So there are good players coming back for sure. And then the freshmen coming in look pretty good too. 15 hardwood, 24 sim hoops. So what do you see with this group, coach?
Yeah, Coach D. Crusoe is in all leagues is a coach that always recruits very well. Every time you see one of his teams, always a lot of talent, and this team is no exception. Like you said, not a star-driven team, but just a lot of very good players and some depth as well, especially in the backcourt. So he has a lot there. What he does have to replace, probably the biggest player to replace would be his graduating center, Miguel Pena, who was kind of an anchor in the middle. Probably, I didn't look it up, but based on his numbers, I'm guessing top 20 in the league in rebounds, up there in assists and blocks for a big man as well. So that's some big shoes to fill, but he does bring in, you know, a quality class. I don't know if the one big man he brings in, Christian McVay, is that type of player. So he might have to look elsewhere for a starting center, but there's definitely a lot of talent here. And I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do at least as well as they did last season.
Yeah, I think you're right to highlight Pena as the more important loss. Not to say Newman was a bad player, but I would think they can fill in for him. Most of the depth on the team last year was in the guard spots. Tolbert and McDonald both played well as the backup guards, but Lay and Blake, the starters, are back. So there's probably not a spot for those guys necessarily. You know, among the freshmen, maybe Hunter Butler would be the most likely to start. He could potentially fill in for Newman, the graduated small forward, and maybe even be an upgrade there. But I do wonder who will man the middle. I think that'll be a major question for this group. So, you know, it might be a situation where they're able to beat most teams, but struggle against, you know, certain teams that have a lot of size. Of course, as we're just saying, New York City is not one of those, right? So neither one of these teams is going to have, you know, dominant scoring in the interior. Maybe New York City will be able to maintain its rebounding ability, but I don't know that Boise will necessarily have a huge problem lacking a defensive presence in the middle against that team specifically.
Yeah. And you mentioned the depth in guards. I wonder a little bit if maybe Coach DiCruso wants to maybe try and find a spot for Cooper McDonald in the starting lineup. Sergio Blake was the shooting guard last year, but he did have good size at 6'7". Looks like he has pretty good hands. So I wonder if maybe a move to small forward would work for him so they could fit Cooper McDonald into the starting lineup. And that might, you know, work out for them, getting a lot of their talent all in the guard and wing position.
Yeah, that makes sense. And who knows, maybe somebody like McKinney, who's 6'8", played power forward last year, could play center. And Butler, the freshman, could be the power forward. You know, it'd be a shorter group, but certainly a lot of talent there, no doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the third team on my list here, the Houston Lying Squirrels, not the Flying Squirrels, the Lying Squirrels. They were a 13 seed in the NTT last year. Didn't do so well, lost in the first round, and ended up at number 102 in the power rankings. They graduate one senior starter in Carlos Milligan, who was their point guard and wasn't all that effective last year. Scored a bit, had a lot of turnovers, pretty low game score for a starter on an NTT level team.
Yeah, actually, if you look, he actually did lose his job. When I'm looking at it, he's actually moved to the bench for about the last half of the season.
Oh, good. So, thank you for pointing that out then. Yeah. Okay. So, and the guy who came in for him, it looks like, was Leslie, and he's coming back.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So no real starters by the end of the year graduated for this team. So then the question is, how much better will they be not losing any starters? Freshmen look okay. 125 hardwood, 147 Sim Hoops. Do you see any of those guys cracking the starting lineup, Coach, or do you think it's going to be the same five that were there at the end of last season?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he seemed to play a pretty tall lineup last year at a 6'7 shooting guard. Not too much size in the post. That may have hurt them a little bit. Of the freshmen coming in, the only one I could see impacting their starting lineup might be Timothy Atkins. Not a scorer, but looks like a very good passer. Looks like a decent athlete. Had 2.2 blocks per game as a power forward, which was really good for a guy who's only 6'7". So wouldn't bring you a ton of scoring, but would give you some athleticism and some playmaking. I wonder if he fits in there somewhere. But other than that, nothing too obvious. They don't look like they have that much talent on the bench that played last year. So, it looks like just maybe, you know, most of the what's going to help them are the guys that return from the starting lineup last season.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, they do have a senior class now that was rated very well. 8 hardwood, 11 Sim Hoops. Clayton Hunter and Ethan Johnson are both part of that group, along with Cedric Leslie, who replaced Milligan in the starting lineup. Hunter was probably their best player last year, so now he's a senior. That helps. They have a center coming back in Alexander Croxton. I remember him. He was a 2-2, 3-3 tie, something like that, and was pretty good last year as a freshman. So it's a solid team, but at least to me, a step or two down from the first two teams we looked at. Does that seem fair?
Yeah. And just the makeup of this team is just they're lacking a little bit in offense, not overly small throughout the lineup, but maybe a little bit small in the post compared to other teams, although not so much in this group probably, but just against the league in general. Like you said, they were kind of a fringe NTT team last year, and looking at what they're bringing back and what they brought in, probably looking at that being kind of a ceiling for them this season, I would think.
Yeah. Sounds right. I mean, looking at them, I'm thinking, are they really even an NTT team? But, you know, they were there last year and they didn't actually lose a starter. So they certainly could get back. But yeah, I don't know that they necessarily have the firepower to match up with the first two teams, but we shall see. Last team in the group, the Shreveport Paper Shredders, a team that really burst onto the scene a few seasons ago. I mean, they hadn't been good really throughout the history of League 31. And then in season 32, all of a sudden they were number one heading into the NTT, finished 22-2. So really nice job from their coach. And they were in the NTT then 4 straight seasons, starting with that one. And then last year slipped to the PTT, where they were a number 6 seed, finished 58th in the power rankings. They graduated a couple of good players who started for them in, actually it looks like 3 starters. We've got to look to the bottom half there. So Stewart, Harvey, and Peterson all left, and they all played pretty well at the front court spots. Now they brought in some size, and Holcomb, Hudson, and Holford, the 3 H's, but I'm not sure those three guys have the talent that was outgoing. So it could be tough for these guys coming back, coach.
Yeah. And even last year with those three guys as your starting small forward, power forward, and center, they weren't overly dominant on the boards. They looked like they're about even against a, you know, kind of middle of the road strength of schedule. So, and the guys they bring in, while being fairly tall, will help them, you know, on the, in terms of rebounding to some degree. Certainly less talented than the guys that they're replacing. So, probably maybe a slight step down. They do bring back their leading scorer, Michael Giboney, a really good season, 21 points a game as a freshman. So they're going to need him for sure, but they do lose a lot of their other offense. So I have to wonder where the offense is going to come from, because it doesn't look like a ton from the freshman class. And I don't see all that much scoring on the bench either.
Yeah, sounds right to me. I mean, their point guard last year, Prater, had 10 assists per 30 minutes. So he's listed as the point guard. He only played 15 and a half minutes per game. Last season, he started some games, was in and out of the starting lineup, but really impressive assist numbers per 30. So, you know, maybe he starts for the full year this year, who knows, and can potentially improve their offense through his passing. As you said, given he's back, that's important for sure. But without Harvey and Stewart, they will be hurting a bit for offense, along with the size issue. You know, I think Holford probably can come in and play center, it looks like. But it doesn't seem like this team will be as good as it was last year. And as we said, they missed the NTT last year already.
Right.
So, I mean, looking at this group as a whole now, out of all four of these teams, do you see, I mean, to me, it looked like there was a division. We had the first two and then the next two. Does that sound right? Do you see one of the first two teams as the clear favorite? What do you think?
I don't know if there's a clear favorite, but I think, yeah, between Boise and New York City, you'd have to think the winner of that group would come from one of those two teams. I think the thing that separates it for me is looking at the schedule for both teams. You look at New York City's schedule, a decent schedule, but not extremely tough. Whereas you would think that they would be, because I think the number one seed is supposed to get the tougher schedule. But Boise, their schedule, especially out of group, wow. You're looking mm-hmm. at, well, I guess I'll have to toot my own horn. They do have to play us in one game, and they have to play.
I think it's safe to say your team's pretty good. I think and that's okay.
And they have to play the number two ranked Plainview Butt Sniffers, who I would guess is one of the top three or four most talented teams in the country. So that's two games out of their group that are going to be a lot tougher than anything New York City has to face. And so for that reason, I would think I would have to give a slight edge to New York City in terms of their overall record.
I do wonder, though, if the Boise as the potato sacks could potentially frustrate the butt sniffers, because their butts are covered by the potato sacks, you know? So it's like the butt sniffers can't get in there and sniff the butts. So that could really be a problem for them. More seriously, I think you're right. You're right on the money. That is a really notable schedule difference, at least based on the power rankings, right? Who knows what these teams actually will look like, but I'm pretty confident, like I said, that your team is going to be a tough matchup, and Plainview has tons and tons of talent. So yeah, that's a really rough draw for Boise as not the top seed in the group to draw those two teams, and for New York City to get teams again that look like they would be easier. So even if Boise wins the head-to-head matchup, which frankly I would lean toward thinking they would, just because I think New York City is going to have a lot to figure out early on, see who their best five are. You may be right to say that New York City should be favored to win the group based on schedule. Any last thoughts on this group before we break and talk about another one?
No, I think we've covered it. Just I just want to maybe get one more shot in and say New York City really screwed up the plans for both of us. So they better make it count by coming back and doing well in this tournament and prove that they were no fluke.
Well, you know, really, they should get back to the title game. So you can beat them by 50 this time to really teach them a lesson.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, we'll take that.
Okay, so yep, wrapping up this group, and we'll be back with another one.